Yifes Tishri, Beis Nechal Amoed. Sunday, 16th of October, Shabbat Duni, Aro, Arba Minim.
Okay, so let's begin by looking a little bit at, at some of the issues that emerge with Arba Minim. We know if we look across the Gemaras, we'll see something you've, of course, been well observed, is that Arba Minim are treated, many halachas are raised with them, that we normally only really deal with when dealing with korbanos. It's a very interesting thing, right? We have, for example, what's that? Yeah, korbanos, with an offering of the Mikdash. You have Shalom Dichyat Zambitzes, for example. If something, well, there's might be it's an interesting question. I'll just give you one example rolling off. You know, you have the question if a hadas, let's say, snaps off, but then it grows a little berry. So it was possible, it becomes kosher. Is the fact that it was once no good a problem? Usually you only have that issue with korbanos, maybe also Kisei Adam, the other way around. But it's an example. I'll give an example that, and I'm just making this a point, but it's an interesting thing. For example, we have a whole sugi where one of the problems of a stolen lulav, the lulav agozel, might be a mitzvah of avera, right? And there's a very, of course, the Rishonim raised the question, there's so many areas where you see we don't seem to hold a mitzvah of avera. The Ritva ends up seeming to say that in fact we only worry about mitzvah of avera with a lulav and with a korban. So, you know, many examples, things like this. The question of treifas, simone treifas by an esek. I mean, there's a lot of issues, a lot of areas where it appears that there's deep comparisons. Even the fact that you wave it in different directions. When else do you do that with things? Only something that's going to be used, the void in the Beis HaMikdash, for the shtei alechem of atzeres, for bikurim. I mean, how often do you... And it's not that surprising, by the way. It's not at all surprising if you think about it, because the whole purpose of the Lulav and Esrog was to go lifnei Hashem, was actually to be used as a kli in the Beis HaMikdash. So the fact that it has many aspects or dimensions, but I'm just showing you that before we start and want to really get into the sugya, it's worth observing the extent to which it's treated as a chetzer shel mitzvah in many, many areas of halacha in ways that only korbanos are treated. In fact, I just, again, as a little aside, but it's, since you seem surprised by that, I'll just point out that right at the very beginning, we say lulav ayavish is possible. The beginning of the parak we discuss it, lulav agozel. Lulav ayavish, the Mishnah says, a dried out lulav, a withered lulav is possible. Why is it possible? So Rashi famously brings Zekeli Vanveu, because when the pasuk of when they're crossing in the Kriyas Yamsuf, they said Zekeli Vanveu, the Shira is when I see Hashem, so I will glorify him with mitzvahs. Of course, other meaning is very deeply related to the other drasha, Ani Vahoy, is rooted in the word Vanveu. The Zekeli Vanveu are beautifying with mitzvahs, and the Medrash says we've got to make beautiful mitzvahs, beautiful lulav, beautiful everything else. And everybody else on Rashi, but okay, that's true, that we've got to have hiddul mitzvah, but when have we ever seen this creating a psul, creating any problem with the fact that something's not mahuda? When has there ever been a psul before? We need a different pasuk. That's the kasha which tells us everyone else on Rashi. Well, the Rishonim in Germany ask on Rashi. But it's an interesting thing that there's a number of possible answers that are given for Rashi, can be given for Rashi. One, of course, is that you're coming lifnei Hashem, you're standing in the Beis HaMikdash, there it really does matter. Every slight hit or suddenly becomes halacha. Because any kli you bring into the Beis HaMikdash, there keli, when you're mamash bifnei Hashem, then vanveu becomes a chiyuv. Normally, not everyone's holding on that madrega when you're bifnei Hashem b'mikdash, so therefore lulav, which is a kli, a chafetz of kedusha for actual avoid of the Beis HaMikdash on some level, or at least bifnei Hashem, has to have an extra dimension, which, by the way, again, since we're just in introduction, I'll make the point. The Baal HaMor actually says, in fact, we do see a precedent for that, of course, which is in the first parak of the Novi Malachi, where he has that famous Musa, the Klal Yisrael, about the Chilul Hashem of Psulim Mekdoshim of a Baal Mum. The logic being that if it's Bifneya, literally, in other words, and that seems to be the reason for everything going to go wrong, for the goddess that's going to come and everything, is Korbanos that are hevesim as a gazel v'asepisach. You know, would you hakrivein on a pechosach, or would you have this on your own table? If not, what are you doing? You bring to Hashem, and it's so severe that the Rambam learns in that perek, nigam zayis v'iskal to l'asayim. You know, Hashem's asking, please, could somebody shut the doors of the Beis HaMikdash? that tzayik ve'ino na'aneh, somebody who's not doing tshuva, we learn it from that parak, can have a situation where the tefillahs are not answered. And you see that the drum, we normally learn the churban takes place because of the gimel chamuras, because of murder, avodah zarah, shvichas dam, and gilei arayos. That's why churban bayis rishon takes place. And there the Navi seems to be emphasizing, no, it's an issue of psulei mukdashim. But the point is, of course, is that when you're b'fnei Hashem, everything changes. All the standards change. When you're mamash oimi b'fnei Hashem, if you aren't makbid on everything, it means that you, if you just bring things by rote there, then there's no relationship to begin to repair anything else from. And in fact, the Baal HaMor says, that's why Lulav HaYovish is posel, because he actually quotes that posel, HaKavei HaNolav HaChasecha, and other Rishonim quote it in other cases. So again, that's just an akdama, just to show that we treat Arba Minim in ways that you'd normally only treat Karbonus. Because of this, there's something tremendous to them. There's something enormous happening. I want to maybe touch on one or two aspects of what is going on. But to do that, let's ask ourselves an even more fundamental question, which is, what is the purpose of the Arba Minim? Right? So that sounds like a very trivial question, but in other words, the Torah itself seems to give an answer. It seems to say, V'samachtem lifnei Hashem shivas yomim, that just like everything else in Sukkos, Zman Simchaseinu, these Arba Minim, waving them, bringing them, seems to involve some aspect of Simcha, of joy. And yet we see, the Gemara in Tanis, at the beginning of Tanis, when we're trying to work out when we should start saying Mashiv HaRuach, Rav Eliezer says that you should start saying it from Sukkos. Why should you start saying it from the beginning of Chag of Sukkos? Because the Arba Minim do not come for any other reason, and these are the things that they need water more than other plants do, apparently. We know Arvei Nachal only grow on Nacholim. We know that Lulav has a special koyach to grow in climates that normally can't, but it's a similar of an oasis anyway. The Esrog, its very name, creates Hadar, might be Idor, Miloshen, Mayim that it needs, etc. So these are Minim that are Shoyev, they draw water, so you take them before Hashem as if the whole world is being, the plants are being Mavakish Mayim from Hashem. So therefore, if that's the time when you should also start your tefillahs the same way. In other words, these are minim whose very purpose is to beg Hashem for water. Seems to be a different issue, different purpose. And indeed, right, we have Rabbi Akiva says the same thing, right, it's brought in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, when we talk about B'chag and Nidoinim Alamayim, right, the very source of this concept. In other words, Sukkot itself seems to split into two, seems to have an aspect of Zman Simcha Seinu, everything is V'samachta B'chagecha, everything is about Simcha, and on the other hand we have B'chag Nidoinim Alamayim, that there's a din element as well, which goes into our Ishanas every day, and it becomes a Shana Rabbah, and it becomes this aspect still of din that's going on. B'chag Nidoinim Alamayim. And the Gemara there quotes the Brisa on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yevi Lefonai, that Hashem asked at each time to bring various offerings that will have Hashpa of Bracha in the world, will allow the blessing to take place. So why do we do Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot? Of course, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisach Lefonai Mayim B'chag, Kedei Shis Baruch Hu Lechem Gishmei Shana. The whole Nisach HaMayim, which also has both elements, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Mishalei Ra, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Ra, Simcha Miyamav, this is the greatest joy, and yet, of course, also the din of the water. So we see these aspects all the way through Sukkot intertwining, but particularly on the Arba Minim. The Arba Minim themselves, it seems that the actual same cheftas is not this two, there's an aspect of A and an aspect of B. The actual purpose, the V'samachtem lifnei Hashem is Kli Simcha, on the one hand, it seems Poshut Pshat in the Pasuk, and yet the Gemara seems to be telling us the actual, no, these are the Ikka purposes, these are things that are begging for water. And we want to see how these two dovetail, are these two intertwine. We say, and I'll just again, just an interesting thing. You see that this little seeming. I mean, it could be the other. It could be actually it's a machlekes tanoim. That actually is perfectly possible. We do see that. We see that it even goes into Rishonim. The Chinuch says, according to the Lashon of the Chinuch in Parshas Emor, when just dealing with what's the poshut pshat, we know there's many Ramazim and Sodas with the Arba Minim. We'll come to some of that very soon. But just in actual poshut pshat in the mitzvah, the chinuch is in Shoshan mitzvah, he explains what is the basic function of the mitzvah, and he says that find the exact words over here. He talks about the simcha, maybe he talks about chag ha'asif, because this is the time of the year when a person has finished gathering in everything there is physically to gather in for the year, and therefore there's tremendous simcha, and we have to focus the simcha with Yiras Shamayim. And therefore, so first of all, we have to remember that these things, these are the kalim of the simcha. This is part of what the joy of the year is, the fruit that we finished harvesting in the year. Even though it's not quite the harvest time for some of these parents, but the principle, but there's an simcha. And then he says, anyone who sees Arba Minim, it is very beautiful. It's a natural sense of simcha, and especially if you're a farmer, even more. But it's just beautiful to see it. It arouses simcha mitiv'om. That's the Poshup Pshat, as it seems to say in the Pasuk. And then Rabbeinu Bechaya says, he says, what's the Pshutai, the sort of Pshat level? Of course, he gives famously the different Midrashim and adds some own remarks. But Pshat, what is the Pshat in V'lokachtem Lachem? Elu dalad minim srichim lashkas mayim yoisem ashar. No, these arba minim, they need water more than the others, is the point that we were saying earlier. So which is it? What is it? Is it machalekas rishonim too? It might even, by the way, come into machalekas in halacha, interestingly enough, because we have an interesting question of the nanum, the actual shaking of the lulav. The lashon of the Rambam sounds like the kiyum of the pasuk for samachtim lifnei Hashem shivas yomim, rejoicing before Hashem, is actually in the halal, and therefore the naluim in halal are a chiyuv, they're the ikar of the mitzvah, and makes it interesting. Nafkamin is in halacha. The Meiri seems to say the same thing. The Rosh seems to say the same thing. One can argue on some of the Tosfos. It seems to be serious in Tosfos, but Tosfos at least in Lamed Zayin and the sugya actually in Lulav HaGozel, Tosfos seems to learn differently that no, the actual mitzvah is the netilas lulav, and the nanuim straight away, shaking it straight away. And what we do in halal is not because that's the mitzvah of the lulav, but because that's just the mitzvah of how you say halal on sukkahs. When you got an arba minim, so as your ananukarat say, halal on sukkah should also have arba minim. Now, it's interesting enough, given as an aloha, one might be, could you on the first 2 days use somebody else's lulav for halal? Could be, according to Tosfos, as a raviyah for sure, that almost for sure, that you could use someone else's, because it's just a din to have halal with arba minim. Whereas according to the Rambam, Rosh, and the Meiri, you would not be able to, because your ikkah of shaking the lulav is over halal. Not going to go into it too much now, but the point is there appears to be an interesting nafkamina. If the reason for arba minim is the samachtan of Hashem, so then waving in halal is the ikkah of the mitzvah. And that is what you're meant to be doing. It's a way of being mahalot Hashem. And so it's an interesting, so what is it? So obviously these two have to have a common root. There has to be something in common with this, and that's machaba, the entire concept of the chag, of days that are on the one hand in what's beferish in Tosha b'chsav of Zman Simchoseinu, and on the other hand, beferish in Tosha b'al peh, and nidrash in Tosha b'chsav of Yemei Hadin, of mine. And the fact that Arba Minim are the exemplar of both has to help us. We have to go to a route where they emerge in common. And it turns out, very interestingly enough, that both the Rosh and Tosfos, who are learning actually different chiyuvim of the waving of the lulav, bring exactly the same pasuk as the source. And of course, we do this, we do both, because halal itself has an aspect of both. Because on the one hand, we're menaneh, we wave it in Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, in the simcha of Zman Simchoseinu, of thanking Hashem for Hodah. And on the other hand, we also wave it in On Hashem Oshiyana, which itself is an issue. Why is that in Perek Kuf Yud Ches, that particular pasuk, suddenly in the middle, being mevakish from Hashem Ahoshana, being mevakish Hashem for Yeshua, for salvation, in the middle of Perek Kuf Yud Ches, which is part of the Zmiris of Halal, in the middle of there, and then of course we again on Mana'anea, the lulav. And the makar of that, both brought in the Rosh brings it to a great elaboration, but Tosfos brings it on Daf Lamed Zayin. The Rosh says, and they bring, the Rosh brings, puts everything together. He says, he quotes the Medrash of how we don't know who came out of Din successfully, except when we hold the lulav as a victory sign, it's a simon that we're the ones who succeeded in Din. And then he quotes the Pasuk again, of Oz Yiranu Nukolat Seyar, a Pasuk that appears 3 times in Tehillim, that we say every day and on Erev Shabbos, but the Oz Yiranu Nukolat Seyar, and over there in Divrei Hayomim when it appears, which is the makor of this, when David HaMelech was bringing the Oron on its way to what would eventually become the next Sukkos, when his son Shlomo HaMelech would be Male, but he brought it to Yerushalayim first, and he says the Hoidu, Divrei Yomim in Perek Tes Zayin of Divrei Yom Aleph, and he says, what do we say after Asher Anakol HaTzeyar? So he says like this. He says, the pasuk says, "Hoydu LaHashem." The Asher Anakol HaTzeyar milifnei Hashem ki volish poita aretz. When there's din, all the forest, all the vegetation wants to be meranin Hashem, wants to be mahalal Hashem. And then we say two psukim, "Hoydu LaHashem ki tov ki loyim chastoy." The imru hoyshenu lekei yishenu v'kabtzenu v'atzirenu min agoyim. Lahoydu LaHashem kodesh alishkabeach b'silasecha. We follow with both psukim. Literally, David HaMelech said it there, and then he said the pasuk "Hoydu LaHashem," and he said to the Kohen Gadol who gathered there to also ask Hashem for Yeshua, and that's why when we do Oz Yiranu Nukol HaTzeyar, whether that is the aspect of Simcha or whether it's nothing to do with it, but either way, when we take the HaTzeyar, the forestation, in our hands, and we get them to be Moran in Hashem, we have to do both. On the one hand, "Hoydu LaHashem," thanking Hashem, the Zman Simcha Seinu. On the other hand, "On Hashem Hoshiyana," asking Hashem for Yeshua to be saved, to give us rain that will allow us to live through the year. So these two are clearly tightly, deeply rooted. And it turns out that there's two different ways of learning the chibur between these psukim. Of course, one can see immediately in these psukim how everything now emerges into one. But the actual limud takes place in two potential different directions. Again, we have, let's go through the Rosh, and we'll see how the Rosh actually align here beautifully. On the one hand, we say, Yismuch HaShamayim V'sagel Ha'aretz V'yomru B'Goyim Hashem Malach. When you have Rosh Hashanah, when you have the Melucha, the Malchus of Hashem, Yiram Hayom Lo El Yaretz Tzadeh Chodesh HaBoy, there's the, Oz Yiranu Nukol HaTzeyar, B'Kivolish Poit Ha'aretz. There's an aspect to which we love din, actually. Because din in the world does many things. Number one, every time there's din, there's bracha. Din is always on how much bracha should come into the world. Before din, there's nothing. But more importantly, the din is mishpat. We ask every day, why? We want mishpat in the world. We want real justice in the world. So on one hand, the whole world wants that. That's a posh chat and something we have to always remember. Din is not only, yes, there is a fearful element of it, but there's also a joyous element to real mishpat of Hashem in the world. But more than that, the what we have over here is like this. I'll quote you what's... quote you all saw, there was quotes of his shame, the Sefer Zman Simcha Seinu, a very beautiful thing. That he says that that actually, if one thinks about it, really speaking, every year when we have a Rosh Hashanah, we have another din for another year. But that's all that we ever get. We never get more than another year of din. That's all that we ever have. We have a koyach built into my Sabrashis. It's a Das Kainim in Balitosa says that all we ever really get is 1 year of Chayim. And therefore, as Rosh Hashanah comes along, it's actually, we're Mavakish, not to move away a Gzeirah of Nisa. We're just doing something much simpler than that. Zachrein L'Chayim really means we're moving Mavakish another year of Maisa Bereshis. There should be another Hemshech. We haven't finished it yet. We haven't brought Olam Abayim Maisa Mashiach yet. We would like another year to continue doing what we do. And therefore, as we come out of the Yemei Adin, Kivolish Poita Oretz, that's the time when Hashem decides it's going to be another year. Then comes Oz Yiranu Nukol HaTzeyar. Everything has to have some kind of simcha that relates to that. So that's the one aspect of Sukkot. And we ask then also that we should have the mind that allow us the capacity to do this. In other words, really the two ideas interlink in two ways. Number one is that the person understands that when the simcha we have in having been given a previous year and having been given the beginning of this year, the simcha that we have from that is very tied to the bakasha for mine, for let's now have another year. But there's an aspect the other way around as well. When we feel the capacity of the world, because really speaking, Oz Yiranu Nukol HaTzeyar is a future tense. When we feel that sense of Yismcha Shamayim V'Sogei La'aretz, we feel glimpses of what a perfect world will look like, then our bakasha turns into something different. Our On Hashem Hoshiyana becomes a different thing. David HaMelech says, think about the Hoydu LaHashem Kito, think about how amazing things can be. Think about the Yismcha Shamayim V'Sogei La'aretz. Think about the whole of nature coming Oz Yiranu Nukol HaTzeyar. When you think about that, then ask Hashem for life for that. Or to quote the Lashon of the Ramban, At the end of Parashas Bo, he says, "She'ein lanu tam acha biyitzira rishoina." There's no other purpose to existence. Ve'ein le'elyon b'tachtoinim chavas. There's nothing milvatz sheyeda adam v'yoyde le'lakav sheboroi. Right? The choyvas kalay atzurim is just haydah and halalav Hashem. And therefore, what's actually happening, the Zman Simcha Seinu is identical to the time to be Mavakish Chayim, to Mavakish Mayim, because the two work in both directions. A, we're only Mavakish for the sake of Simcha. B, the Simcha of Chayim then turns our Bakasha into something else. The Simcha of seeing everything in Maaseh Bereishis coming to be Maranim B'fnei Hashem. But let's therefore be Mamik one little bit further. Because what the implication of that is that the lessons we learn of how to be Maran and Hashem actually exist in the Arab Aminim. How nature itself will thank Hashem, will dance to Hashem, will sing to Hashem. The Arab Aminim themselves are the Kedim that teach us this. This is why there's so much. This is why they are the things one brings B'fnei Hashem. And they are the very same Kedim that Ashoyev so much water that they represent the whole of Maaseh Bereishis being Mavakish Mayim. Because the things that are Moedet Hashem in the best possible way are the things that have the greatest right to ask for water, and vice versa. And therefore, within them, munach within them, is every lesson, is the lessons of our avodas Hashem. And that, therefore, awakens within us the Shem Shmuel. And the Shem Shmuel points out, that it was brought by Rabbeinu Bechai, that the Arab Milim, amongst other simonim, that they meramas for us, this, the element of every part of the human body, as well as every part of the animal, natural world, the different tam and reach elements, etc., they're also the spine, the shedra, the lave, the heart, which is the estrog, the naim shape of the hadassim, and the lip shape of the arabas. And he points out it's not just stem and interesting, you know, different parts of the body. There's something very deep to that, which is that the four areas a person can collapse in avodas Hashem chas v'shalom, the four great averas, the gimel chamuras, shpichas dam, avodas zara, gilui arayos, and also lashon hara, and of course, Sinas Chinam, which the first three created the first Golus, the second two create the last Golus, are all answered in the Arab Aminim. The Shedra, in fact, those different parts of the body, the spine is that which can avoid Avodah Zarah. The lave, if it's right, will avoid Gilei Arayos. The eyes, which create the jealousy, which creates the possibility of Shvichas Domim and breakdown, can be, if the eyes are used correctly, then of course that avoids that problem, and if the lips are used correctly, there's no Lashon Hara, and if everything's about Guda Achas, there's no Sinas Chinam. But if one's mamik further in that, one sees something very remarkable. Because of course, all those Averas and all these Arab Aminim are part of the very first Chait and its Tikkun. All those Averas, the Nachash comes and he speaks Lashon Hara, and he tells them the temptation is kitayva ulei naim. The teresha, she sees this beautiful for the eyes, because he says loy mois tamusin, you won't die ki yadeh lekim ki yibiyam achalcham imen, the day you eat this v'nifkechu enei shnechem, your eyes will be opened. Says the Rambam, you'll see the world through your eyes. You won't see the world anymore the way it is. You'll see, you won't see emes and sheker anymore. You'll see things that feel good or don't feel good. And of course, it was Kfira, and of course, it was the Medrash brings there was elements of Arayas in there too. So all of these are the Chet of Adam Arishan, and yet at the same time, these are the only Peiros that remain with the Koiches of Gan Eden, of the Peiros of the fruits that are in this world, because the Ramban tells us that the Esrog was the Eitz Hadas, the Lulav, which is the Tzadik HaTomei Yifroch, the Tzachayim, or an aspect of it anyway, the Adas in the Gemara Shabbos calls the whole garden Gandas, and the Arovas, which are Arve Nachal of the Arba Nachalim that come out of Gan Eden. So these are the pairs of Gan Eden, and in their growth in Olam Hazeh, they reveal aspects of how we fight in our Avodah Hashem. Because the lulav, which is kofa against, which is against Avodah Zarah, the shedra, which shouldn't be bow, the lulav has a unique feature amongst all plants. In fact, it's munach into the dinim of lulav. All plants grow facing the sun. They're all linked towards the shemesh, but the lulav grows straight upwards, of all. Straight upwards. And it grows in it, although all its leaves would have actually spread out, and it's now the Gemara's dorish. How do you know it's not which branch it is, isn't? But it starts with everything pointing in one direction. In fact, if the central growth leaf of the chomis is in two directions, the whole thing is possible. And the Lulav is telling us that everything we do in life, the whole, everything we spread out in a million directions, everything has to start with absolute perfection in one thing only. If any pu'ula we ever do anywhere in life doesn't start with, before we do it, thinking straight lamala, what is the shame kiddush Hashem in that, then we're nichshal later on, chas v'shalom in much, can eventually lead all the way down to avodah zara. And the esrog that is keneged the potential of disloyalty in arayas, the esrog, the pre-eighth hadar, we learn is hadar be'ila mishanashon. Every other period at some point breaks off. At some point becomes its own self. An esrog will never do that. In fact, an esrog is also, I'll add another aspect in a minute, but the esrog is, that's one of its, all the different drashas we make about what hadar is will relate an esrog in some way to its root. That inability to ever see itself as separate from that which is fundamental to it, from all its kshayim in life, that absolute rigorous, it's never an individual that is a separate chafta that just falls off and becomes itself and then decides whether it will have a relationship. It's something that cannot see itself as detached until somebody actually comes along and takes it off. It can't. It can grow hadar b'shana b'shana, hadar b'ina b'shana b'shana. It can stay there like b'temani asrogim, they leave on for years and years, and they become these huge things. It can just stay like that forever. And that level of it cannot be detached is the keneged, the tivers that can lead them arroyas. But the beautiful thing, the hadas that we learn, is amazing thing about the hadas, if it's keneged the inayim, we know that the nachash was tempted in v'nifkechu enei shneichem, the human eyes, the eyes, in fact all machlokes is created out of the fact that you see the world through your eyes, and that ultimately leads to the period that eventually becomes shfichas damim at its extreme. But the eyes, of course, what are the eyes? It's the fact that I see the world through my eyes. It's exactly was the pitoy of the nachash. Look what an amazing world it would look like if you see it through your eyes. You'll see toiv and ra. Things that feel toiv to you and feel ra to you suddenly become emes instead of emes and sheker. That pitoy, the avodah, for those of the Lomdish Asuk, is at the beginning of Bava Metzia, the way Rashi seems to learn that the avodah of a dime is mechaber two perspectives. But the two perspectives, they say beautifully that if you have heard one half of a story, you don't have half the picture, you have fiction. But if you hear two half of a story, also you have two fictions. Because MS doesn't live in the eyes of either side. MS lives in a third perspective, learning to see the world through the Einei Hashem. And Hadassim will not let us have two eyes, two worldviews. They have to have three. It has to be Meshulash. If a person only sees with your two eyes, or even two perspectives, that's not enough. But there has to be always another side. There has to be a Re'iyah that is outside of our Re'iyah. That is the only way to avoid the type of machlokes that eventually could lead to disaster. And if without it, it's possible. If it's not Meshulash, if it doesn't grow together in three, if one, it's not, it's no good. It has to be from the beginning of how we see anything. And the Arava, which is Achna, which is ultimately the tikkun for what leads to Lashon Hara, because Lashon Hara itself, what is Lashon Hara? It can be literally true. But it's that my way of seeing this person's negative becomes the gather of the person, as if there's any chashivas to that. And the achna of the arava is the answer to that. And the v'yasa chulam aguda achas, that everything becomes one, is the tikkun, of course, of the sinas chinam. And so these arba minim teach us the oimek and the panimius of how we actually, even on a simple level, they teach us our panimius and avodas Hashem, and how we're meant to be oved Hashem. But I'll end maybe with one last little piece that's worth bringing together everything that we just the hints that we've been laying out a little bit this morning. There's something very powerful we say about Tzadik Katoma Yifrach. We dafka use that example of Tzadik Katoma Yifrach, the Lulav. And in fact, the Nanuimo dafka with Lulav. Lulav is the thing that we shake in Halal. In fact, there's a machlekes how high Lulav has to be, or the Tefach extra for Nanu has to be above. Or but either way, that is the din of Nanuim. And we say Tzadik Katoma Yifrach. You know, the pasuk in that we say in the Kabbalah Shabbos, the pasuk is Mishli Yom Shabbos. But it's amazing that we say Ishba Le'yeda Chsil La'Yoven Azayis. The world doesn't understand what they before Hashan Kuma Esev. We live in a world where Rishus is Matzliach, or appears to be Matzliach, where empire on national levels, international levels, individual levels, where doing what's wrong can appear to be very successful. And you think about the moshel of that moshel that the David HaMelech is giving us, that if everything's growing in a garden or a forest somewhere, and all the vegetation and the sovim are having a wonderful time, they're all up there, but this poor little stick is just growing and nothing's ever happening to it, you know, like everyone's mocking it. And everything pops up again the next year and has so much to show for itself, and this stick is just growing painfully, and there's just nothing to show for it. And for years and years and years this goes on. until one day when that thing gives fruit. Everything else was Lishon Bamadead. As soon as it grew, it died. It had its season and then it's gone. There could be another one and another one and another one, but each one that comes up is gone forever. There is nothing to it. There never really was. But the tamar, the avoidah that is painted year in, year out, there's mesumal in the lulav, that capacity to constantly be growing, always lamala. In fact, when we use an example, we want to use an example of something that is guaranteed to come. It's always that which produces the payers at the end, that's the one that can last now forever. The Karen Kayama slay, that is now forever producing payers while everything else around it has nothing to show for itself. It comes and it's gone straight away. That's the deep battle in our avodah, because the Froyach Hoshag Ma'esef is the fight that we all have on our personal level. It's the fight of Karisol and Golos, that everything else seems to be Masliach, but it's gone forever. It's the Lulav that is Mesamotas, the Ikar Avodah Hashem, the painful growth and growth and growth that will produce payers forever. But amazing, when the Gemara wants to be Masam or something that is guaranteed to happen, it's Peirus Dekel Davidi Da'asu. The Dekel, the Lulav that grows and grows, that's guaranteed there's going to be Peirus. The growth is... And in fact, our real problem in Avodah comes because in the growth we can't be Toyim the Peirus. Built into Maisa Bereishis was a gap that the Rosh Hashanah said on day 3. He says that it should be Eitz Pri Oisa Pri, the Tam Eitz Superior Shoven. We some of those things are funny Medrash Rashi. What does it mean that the bark should taste like the fruit and the Osid Lovay it will? That's what excites us about Yemoisa Mashiach and Olam Haba. But Tam Eitz Superior Shoven, and it came out Eitz Oisa Pri. It came out that the Eitz doesn't taste of the Pri. Doesn't taste of it. And of course, the issue is, of course, that in the growth, we don't taste the peiros. In our avoida, we can't taste it. If you could taste the peiros of avoida when you're being ovid, then everyone would be tzaddik, katamar yifrach. And the one pre in Olam Hazeh that still is tam eitz superior shav, and you punctuate, it's exactly the same, is the afstrik, the pre eitz hodah. That is the pre that teaches us that. That's mechubat it shows. It's hada, it's real beauty. It's hadar be'ilan, is that it never detaches itself. But it's also the beauty of a world where the avoidah can taste like the results. And so our Arab Aminim, therefore, that are the shira, oz yiranenu konat seyar, that the shira to Hashem, these are the things that are showing us how to grow in our avoidah Hashem. And they're the things that are shoyv mevakish mayim for the whole world. And they become a part of our simcha. And we take them in our hands, as if our Maisa Mitzvah are going to be these things. This is what we're Meranet Hashem. Then the Simcha, as the Rambam puts it at the end of Chesvah, the Simcha, Shizmach Adam Bat Siyas HaMitzvah, Ahavah Sakel Shetzivah Bayam, it's Avoyed Gila. That Simcha is the Bakosha for mine. This is what we want to live for this year. And that becomes our On Hashem, our Shia, and our becomes Hoidu Hashem Kitoiv, Kilo Elam Chastah.